Robin Washit.
Blissful ignorance, I think it could be an advantage here.
Robin Washit.
Yeah, I'm a ball guy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely huge.
The hot take.
Wash it. Wash it's good. Wash it.
Yeah, wash it's real good.
Wash it. Wash it's good. Wash it.
Yeah, wash it's real good.
Cubs should be winning this game like 9-1.
They're up 3-1, John. It's fine. There's just 2 innings left, 6 outs left, and they'll get another dub. Are they over 500 this year?
Oh, yes. Of course we are.
I just asked.
We're 15-9.
Holy crap. That's kind of good.
It is kind of good. Kind of better.
Yeah?
The Robin Washit. No, Robin Washit of HuskerOnline.com.
I see.
How you doing, Robin?
Hi, Robin.
Kind of better is how I want most people to describe me.
Nice.
Yeah. Don't forget, Robin, next week, I hope Wildfire's been in the gym getting, pumping weights and running laps. It's the big race next week.
Yep. That time of year, we're fired up. The thoroughbreds are off and running.
We are so excited. Matt Rhule said today, the goal is to play a game. He almost had a Herm Edwards moment. You win, you play to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to play a game, says Matt Rhule. What kind of a game are you expecting out of Saturday?
I don't think it's going to be like a typical, knockdown, drag out four quarter game. I think you're going to get your good on good first team offense, first team defense to start, maybe get a few series out of that, and then you'll start to see probably more third teamers work in on that quote unquote first team side on both sides of the ball. And then sounds like the second team groups is going to play the majority of the game, and they're going to mix and match personnel. Offensive line is going to wear gray jerseys, so they're going to flip back and forth between the teams. The quarterbacks are going to work with all the different teams, so you're going to get a lot of roster movement and a lot of experimentation with players working with different personnel, and just kind of see how that all comes together. Sounds like it's going to be more pass heavy. As Matt Rhule said, he wants to call it the red white shootout, where you're not going to see a heavy dose of physical between the tackles running game, but you're going to let those quarterbacks throw the ball around, because he wants to see how his QBs throw it, how his receivers go get the ball and make plays, and then how his secondary is able to conversely make plays on the ball. So I imagine it'd be pass heavy. Like I said, a lot of mixing and matching with personnel, and making it a product that I think the fans, like, you kind of got to respect the fan base a little bit, to where like you can't trot out and play like two-hand touch football like they've done in years past here. You got to try to make it somewhat of a football game. I think Matt Rhule understands that, and he understands that there's value of playing quasi-real football in that setting to see how guys respond, on that stage. That's kind of one of the benefits, especially with how much the younger guys are going to get reps in this thing.
Robin, what have we learned about Nebraska so far in the first 14 practices? What have you learned?
It's hard to have too many sweeping takeaways just because, we don't get to see a whole lot. So it's all second and third hand information that's coming out of it, and usually you're not going to get a lot of real negative reports, but I think probably the biggest thing is just in that second year of a program, you want to hear reports of just guys getting it, that it's not just a scramble to catch up like it was a year ago going into year one, that there's retention and an understanding of what they're doing, and that kind of makes a cleaner overall operation to where you're not having the procedural stuff or floppy turnovers or just kind of the mental mistakes that come when everything is new. And so I think just the fact that they have a year of experience now and so many veterans that have come back, there just seems to be a lot higher comfort level with everything that they're doing, and a lot more player leadership helping the staff do things the way they want it to be done. And so I think that just kind of the the trajectory has seemingly gone the way that you would have hoped. And so, I mean, there's still questions like quarterback is still very much a question mark, and it will be until they actually play a real game and are actually getting hit, when the lights are on. So you don't learn much about that right now. But I think that you take what you know about the team based off what they did last year with how many returners they have and the glowing reports, some of the newcomers, and you got a pretty good idea of what they're capable of. But then, you know, there's just questions that can't be answered until the games get for real here. But I think this, the biggest takeaway for me is just the level of familiarity and comfort from the players and from the staff, both in which what the coaches expect of them and then from the coaches, what the players are capable of, and then that player leadership really stepping up.
Talking with Robin Washit of HuskerOnline.com as the spring game is a couple of days away at Memorial Stadium. You know, we talked earlier. We had our spring game roundtable here live from Oscars earlier today, and we got into the conversation, Robin, about assistant coaches. And the way we got into it was we were talking about quarterbacks, and I said, man, if at the end of the season, if you could tell me that, you know, this coach was having a really good year, that it would be a great barometer for how the team is doing. And we kind of just ranked all the coaches in order of, hey, if we find out this coach doing a really good job, it'll tell us a lot. It was all offensive coaches.
It started because it started with Glenn Thomas.
It started with Glenn Thomas. I brought up Glenn Thomas. I said Glenn Thomas to me is like a barometer. If we're talking glowingly about Glenn Thomas at the end of the season, I think Nebraska is going to have a really good year. Not counting the coordinators, who would that coach be for you this year?
Yeah, I think Thomas is the easy answer, just because if you're praising him, that means the quarterbacks are flourishing. And if the quarterbacks are flourishing, everything is going well on offense. So I agree with you there. But beyond that, I'll say Garrett McGuire, just because I think the potential of that receiver room is really, really high. With the newcomers they brought in, with the second and third year guys that are coming back, like, I think there's just a lot to work with in that group. And so, if we're talking about the quarterbacks, Glenn Thomas getting glowing reports, that would almost inherently mean that, Garrett McGuire is getting a lot of praise too with the work that he's done with that unit. And I think, Jamal Banks, Isaiah Nayor are going to get a lot of the talk, but, if you see elevated play out of Jalen Lloyd, Malachi Coleman, Jaden Doss, those types of players that take that next step under his coaching, I think that's going to be just as critical, maybe not as the quarterback play, but it'll be kind of hand in hand there, where if the quarterbacks are doing well and getting a lot of praise, the receivers are going to have a lot to do with that.
Hey, Robin, talking hoops, how would you grade what's happened with Nebraska in the transfer portal, both in players lost and players gained to this point?
I think it's been pretty good. I think that they've done a good job of not just filling the void so far from what they lost. They got two shooters and Griffiths and Asijan to help replace what they lost with Lawrence and Wilcher. They got another veteran point guard in Raleigh Wooster to help what they lost with Jamarcus Lawrence and that point guard role. And they were able to get another big with Andrew Morgan that is similar to Rink Mass, but kind of with the unknowns about Rink's status, whether or not he comes back or not, what the surgery situation kind of holds there. Just having another guy with a similar skill set there, I think, provides you a little bit of a safety net there. And so there's still work to be done. They need another power forward, a guy that can do the dirty work, that physical defensive rebounder, rim protector, rim finisher, that Josiah Alec was. That's probably priority number one of what they still have to do. They probably need another big. Like I said, if for whatever reason Rink doesn't come back or is limited at all next season, you got to have another body there. Especially losing Blaze, Josiah, and Matar Chope. Like they just need some help there. So I would say that priority one is, you know, that type of power forward, physical power forward I described, and then another center that can play and give you minutes. So they've done a good job, I think, so far, but there's still work to be done. But I would imagine that, you know, with the new portal rule, where not as only does the portal close, but you know, graduate transfers, that also applies that May 1st deadline. And I think that's going to kind of expedite the timeline of how you fill your roster, more so than it was a year ago, where, you know, guys are still adding players on into August. I don't know if you'll see that nearly as much now with that new rule. So, you know, for Nebraska, I think that means that you'll probably see some movements relatively soon, probably within the next couple weeks, that specifically address those two remaining needs that will ultimately tell how productive this offseason was for them in terms of adds and losses.
So was it your email campaign that got the Nebraska-Creighton game put on Friday the 22nd instead of Saturday the 23rd?
I think it was a Husker Hoop Central account that tweeted out the Andy Dufresne from Shawshank Redemption, where he writes the library or whatever, like, every single day. It's like, we hope this will put an end to your letters. Like, I imagine the Creighton and Nebraska basketball offices both got to get that game moved. And I'm glad they listened, because that was going to be a real bummer. Like, the reality is I probably wouldn't even be able to cover that game, you know, because I'd be doing football during the day and probably would have not even been able to get there in time. So just for my purposes, I'm happy about it. But for to give that game its own night and not have to directly compete on the same day with football, that's the right move. That game means too much to the state to share it with football and get overshadowed the way that it probably would be.
No, I couldn't agree more. I still wish it was could be later in the season, or, you know, at least,
like,
in December.
First week of December, like it always is. I don't understand.
Right. Because it will get – I mean, I know we joked about it earlier. It's going to get swallowed up still by being a football week, but at least it's not on the Saturday, like you said, Robin.
Right.
Correct. So, you know, it's better than nothing. You know, hopefully they get back to putting it towards that December. Maybe it was a move by Nebraska. They expect to play in the Big Ten Championship, and that week's going to be a little bit busier for them. So who knows?
That is true. There was one year. Oh, God. Was that? That was, no, it was 10. The last Big 10, Big 12 championship. Creighton and Nebraska played the next day.
Oh, that's
on
Sunday.
Because we were flying back from Dallas when the game was going on.
Yeah, that game used to always be that Sunday after conference. And that was back when Nebraska would play in conference championship games semi-regularly. Yeah.
Yeah, the only other time I could find a Nebraska Creighton basketball game being played on the same day as a Nebraska football game was the 1982 game, but that was because Nebraska was playing at Hawaii in the first day of December. That was that extra 12th game that you used to get, and that game was really, really late at night. So my uncle and I went to the Civic and watched Benoit Benjamin versus Dave Hoppin, and we got home and the football game started like an hour later on the radio. So,
but that was
just a weird circumstance because Nebraska was playing football that day, that night.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, so. I'm glad that cooler heads have prevailed here and they were able to get that worked out. I think it's best for all parties involved.
I am too. So, are you watching with bated breath the draft tonight, or are you going to stay away because for fear of what your team might do?
I'm always in fear of what my team might do whenever it comes to the Giants. But I will be watching intently because there's a lot of smoke that this is going to be the year they try to get the quarterback situation right. And after the way things have been since Eli Manning left, it's been a long time coming on that. So hopefully they go get their guy. My dream scenario is they trade up to 3 with the Patriots and get Drake May. He's the guy that I want. Odds of that actually playing out probably are slim, and they'll end up taking a receiver and some schlub quarterback in the second round, and then the cycle will continue.
Oh, well, I'll be thinking of you and all the Viking fans and the people just hoping that it's not J.J. McCarthy for some reason.
We were having that discussion after practice, and there's the several Vikings fans in the football media corps, and they were also sharing my concerns about what terrible things are going to happen with their quarterback future.
Robin Washit, HuskerOnline.com. Robin, thank you very much. Enjoy the spring game this weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. See you later.
Bye, Robin.
Robin Washit joining us on the 42 Degrees, the Source Hotline. Would you like a Cubs update?
No.
Well, they're going to the top of the ninth.
Oh, see, I told you they're going to be fine.
And we're leading 3-1.
They're going to be fine.
Well, we should be winning like 8-1.
Oh, look at Nick's Rockies.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Bruce Rasmussen.
Hey.
Look at how tan he looks right now.
Looking good.
You've been out on the golf course again, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, retired life agrees with him so well.
Oh.
Played once in the last month.
What?
But it was Monday. Here we go.
We are here at Oscars. Apparently, they're here to take advantage of the $3. Hey, it's $3 margs and Mexican beers after 5.
Yep, just an hour and 9 minutes away.
An hour and 9 minutes away.
Perfect.
$2 tacos starting at 5 o'clock.
By the way, speaking of an hour and 9 minutes from now, multiple angles of Nick Grimm's hot dog challenge. We will have that coming up in the happy hour.
We will.
Can't wait. And I believe that in our email, 1620 the email, we will have the extended cut of both my angle as well as our boss's angle, Mark Onweiler, so you can see different angles inside of 1620 the email. That's the exclusive content that we have been promising. That is the kind of content that you want. All you got to do is go to 1620thezone.com to subscribe today.
That's what you subscribe today for.
Yeah. That is what you subscribe today for.
Yeah.
Coming up, what does the rest of the Husker offseason look like? Because, you know, you'll be gone next week.
Oh, man.
But after the spring game, there's going to be...
Yeah, takes and stuff.
Takes and stuff.
Yep.
And what does the rest of that offseason look like? We can tackle that. Also, we remember the great Bo Pelene.
I don't know what this means.
The great Bo Pelene.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
Hi, curious. I'm Nick.
That's
nice.
Coming up as we are live from Oscars, 173rd and West Center. We were here earlier today for the Nebraska football spring game roundtable, and they were so nice they kept us here until 6.
Great time. Lots of good discussion. I mean, you brought up that question, and I think that we might have to, when I return maybe in May or later in the summer, ranking the coaches that tell the biggest story of the season, mm-hmm. I think is a really fun one because, I mean, I think that you did figure out the obvious. If we're leaving Black Friday saying, wow, Glenn Thomas inspired hire, you know, I mean, how good are they going to be? But if we leave saying they messed up, they brought in that guy and he ruined Dylan Raiola's development, we're probably talking about a team
Raiola
missing a bowl game or like 6-6 and just a pretty mess season, a mid-season.
So we'll stick a pin in that and have more on that as we continue live from Oscars 173rd and West Center. It's John and Josh with Nick on 1620 The Zone.